So you're listening to WDIY Classics. My name is Karen Elchar, your host, and I'm pleased to welcome into the studio this morning Greg Fumfgeld, the Bach Choir Artistic Director and Conductor, as well as Eugene Albulescu, Lehigh University Philharmonic Music Director. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Karen. How are you?
Excellent. Nice to have you on board.
Great to be with you.
You've got a wonderful collaborative event coming up next weekend, so would either of you like to tell me about the collaboration or take turns? You're both live.
Yes. Well, Lehigh University has had a very long relationship with the Bach Choir, who has been performing the Bach B Minor Mass as part of the festival, the Bach Festival, every May for over like 100 years, I believe.
Since 1912.
Oh my gosh.
And so since Lehigh is gearing up for its sesquicentennial celebration, we were asked to look for ways in which we could celebrate tradition at Lehigh, and we thought what better way to do that than to invite the Bach Choir to do a collaborative event with us. And so this is how our discussion got started.
Okay. So it is next weekend. It's April 9th and 10th at the Zellner Arts Center on the campus of Lehigh.
Yep.
Excellent.
I believe it's April 10th and 11th.
Oh, sorry. 10 and 11. No. That was good. Thank you.
Friday and Saturday, April 10 and 11.
Yes, Friday and Saturday, 8 p.m. Thank you very much. And the title of the performance, What Passion Cannot Music Raise, speaks a lot. So in did you come up with that particular title?
It's part of the text of one of the pieces.
Yeah, it's from the Ode for St. Cecilia's Day, which is originally music by Handel, and he sets this Dryden poem extolling the virtues of music, what passions cannot music raise. There are pieces there that feature the organ, the flute, the trumpets. There's a very militaristic piece with trumpets and French horns and timpani. Mm-hmm. And Mozart was such a great admirer of Handel's music that he often reorchestrated it. He did that with The Messiah. He did that with a number of different pieces. So that's where the title, What Passions Cannot Music Raise, came from. Mm-hmm. But let me say, Eugene was so kind to think of this collaborative effort, and we actually decided to expand on that collaboration, and we've included the choir of the Cathedral Church of the Nativity, one of your neighbors just up the block, and the First Presbyterian Church Chancel Choir. So it's a collaboration between four wonderful institutions, and we're very excited about it, and very grateful to Eugene for having initiated this whole thing.
Yeah, well, the cathedral choir is very interesting because it's Episcopal, and of course Lehigh University used to be an Episcopal university back when we were religious, I suppose, and also the First Presbyterian Church is on the north side, so simultaneously it celebrates Bethlehem and all of Bethlehem, north and south, and and the tie in to Lehigh as being a focal point of Bethlehem. So, you know, we're very, very excited about this. We will have over 200, or around 200 people, I should say, in the choir, in the overall choir, and around 100 people in the orchestra. So, everybody's extremely excited. There's a host of incredible soloists that Greg could talk a little bit about. And we are also having some musicians from the Bach Festival Orchestra that are joining us, that are playing side by side with our students, and are going to be have already been in some of the rehearsals that we've had. Very helpful in the students learning side by side from professionals.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How wonderful! It's a wonderful experience for everyone, all told, and a beautiful way to showcase Bethlehem in particular.
Indeed.
And all the fine arts organizations here in Bethlehem as well.
Yes.
As far as the program content itself, one of the pieces is the Stravinsky Symphony of Psalms. Would someone like to address that, and then we'll listen to a selection from it?
Well, the reason the Symphony of Psalms is in the program is because first of all, it's a fantastic piece.
Yes.
It's also just the right size. But it's a great opener to the program. The Psalms, of course, were whether people are religious or not, especially at this time of the year, with both Judeo and Christian traditions celebrating Easter and Passover, respectively. The the Psalms were, you know, some of the oldest songs that there that we ever have record of. And of course, we only have their lyrics. We don't have the, you know, the notes, the musical context, but because of that, they've always been some of the most incredible opportunities for composers for the last 2,000 years to reset to different music. And so when Stravinsky was asked for a piece that also commemorated a 50-year anniversary of Boston Symphony, he chose three psalms. You know, I guess one of them is in its entirety, and the other two are, you know, partial verses. It's a beautiful piece. It's for choir, and the orchestra is actually conspicuously lacking certain instrumentations, specifically, you know, there are no violins and no violas and there are no clarinets in the piece. So if, when you hear the orchestra at various times, it sounds like a gigantic organ, you know, like a because of the such a predominance of winds, and all the strings involved are lower, they're cellos and basses.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to listen to the first movement of the Symphony of Psalms. The performance is by the Berliner Philharmoniker under the with the Rundfunkchor Berlin under the direction of Simon Rattle.
Thank you.
if you'd like to hear the rest of that wonderful Stravinsky Symphony of Psalms, you'll need to attend the Lehigh University Philharmonic performance with the Bach Choir at Zellner Art Center on Friday, April 10th and 11th at 8 p.m. at Zellner. And if you're just joining us, I do welcome into the studio Greg Funkfeld, Bach Choir Artistic Director and Conductor, and Eugene Albulescu, Lehigh University Philharmonic Music Director, into the studio. What we just heard, as I said, was Stravinsky's first movement of Symphony of Psalms performed by the Berliner Philharmoniker, the Rundfunkchor Berlin, under the direction of Simon Rattle. If we move on to one of the other pieces on the program, the Beethoven. And who would like to address that?
The Choral Fantasy of Beethoven is a piece that's very dear to me personally, because it's the first piece that I've played at Zollner. In 1997, it was billed as the first performance that took place in Zollner when the center opened. It's a fantastic piece written by Beethoven and partially improvised. The idea of a fantasy is that it's supposed to give the impression of being improvised, and the beginning part, the solo piano parts, supposedly he did improvise in the first performance, and then he subsequently wrote down as a giant kind of a cadenza, but it's true improvisation. There is nothing thematic that needs to make sense. And then it's followed by these theme and variations based on, again, beautiful psychedelic words that celebrate music. It's a reminiscent of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, which he based in some part on the idea, both in terms of some of the words that mimic some of the Schiller, but also the tune itself that sounds awfully similar to the Ninth Symphony. And I should say that it's a very unique opportunity in the Valley, since Allentown Symphony is playing the Ninth Symphony the day after, or the day. So people who actually want to hear both of these pieces have a rare opportunity to hear them both live, one after the other, in the Valley. You won't get this chance again. Mm-hmm. So this is how it came about, that I've been dying to play this piece. Again, it's only for a number of years, and very excited to do that, and very, very thankful for Greg for agreeing to do this with us.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just such a fabulous piece. I remember the first time I heard a recording with either Rudolph or Peter Serkin playing the piano part, and I thought, wow, it's like a piano concerto with chorus and six soloists, and it's just stunning. And you can hear the Ninth Symphony kind of down the road in his mind. So we're just thrilled to be doing it, and I'm delighted that Eugene will be not only playing the solo piano part, but conducting from the keyboard, which is an area of his specialization.
Yeah, and this goes back to the Beethoven tradition. This is how it was done. These are works that stem from before we had conductors. We had directors that usually led from, if it was a church, the organ; if it was an opera, the harpsichord; mm-hmm. and if it was a concerto, usually the soloist did it. Mm-hmm. And so
you're following that tradition.
Yeah, it's interesting to do concertos conducting from the keyboard. I think it's a very interesting and a direct way of connecting with the musicians viscerally.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Excellent. And we're going to hear the final movement of the Fantasy for Piano, Choir, and Orchestra, Opus 80, by Beethoven.
Liebe sei Rolle und der Schönheit seelisch schwingen Blut.
You've been listening to the music of Ludwig van Beethoven from his Fantasy for Piano, Choir, and Orchestra, Opus 80. We heard the last movement. Performance was by Daniel Barenboim on piano, who was also conducting the Chor der Deutschen Staatsoper and the Berliner Philharmoniker. And if you'd like to hear the rest of that, you'll just have to attend one of these two performances, April 10th or April 11th at 8 p.m. at the Zellner Arts Center on the campus of Lehigh University. The performance is by the Lehigh University Philharmonic and the Bach Choir of Bethlehem. And I have the two gentlemen who run those organizations with me here today in the studio. One of the final selections on the performances is one by Handel, the Ode to St. Cecilia. And Greg, would you like to talk a bit about that piece or whatever else you'd like to talk about from the Bach Choir?
Well, I would love to say just a little bit about the soloists for this concert. There are six soloists for the Beethoven, and they're a wonderful group of colleagues, people I admire and enjoy and have great affection for. Lori Himes is the soprano. Lori lives near Princeton, New Jersey, sings all over the world, but she's a wonderful soprano, and she has the kind of drama and the personality that is required. You know, in the last movement of the Handel, the soprano has to sing these incredible long lines with such command, to which the whole orchestra and chorus and all the instruments respond. And so you need somebody who gets in front of a crowd and doesn't think twice about it, just throws herself into it. And Ben Butterfield, my very dear friend, who teaches at the University of Vancouver, will be coming out to sing the tenor stuff, and he's got an incredible sense of drama. He's sung opera all over the world. He's sung Bach all over the world, and he's absolutely a delight. But I want to mention one other singer, and that's Fiona Gillespie. And I love to mention Fiona. She's been singing at Bach at Noon with us a couple of times. She's a recent graduate of Westminster Choir College and then of the University of Texas with a master's degree. And Fiona grew up in Bethlehem. Her family is very musical. They do Irish step dancing, Irish music. But Fiona grew up and became one of our choral scholars. The Bach Choir has a program we call the Choral Scholars Program for high school seniors. They sing with us if we're doing recordings or tours or anything like that. They do everything with us. They have a mentor in the choir. And so as a young child of 17, Fiona was a member of the Bach Choir and went on to study and is now having this incredible career. She actually went up to Canada to study with Anne Monoyos, a wonderful singer who did a lot of work with the Bach Choir and recorded with us. She worked out in Berkeley with the American Bach Soloists and Jeffrey Thomas, another Allentown native who has a wonderful group out in Berkeley. But having Fiona come back is a particular joy for me because this incredible young woman who grew up right here in Bethlehem wow. and is now at the start of a major career. So that's a real joy. The Handel is a glorious piece. Handel wrote it for two soloists, soprano and tenor. Mozart decided to rewrite one of the soprano arias for baritone. So Jeff Chapman is coming to sing that baritone solo. He's a very virtuosic singer. It requires a baritone who has really good high Fs, and Jeff is tailor-made for the part, and it's got lots of florid running lines, what Baroque music we call melismas, where you have one syllable and lots of running notes, and Jeff will do that brilliantly.
It's Handel's specialty.
Handel's specialty, right. And of course, 2 days from now on Easter Sunday, the Hallelujah Chorus will be sung in more churches around the world. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure Handel just takes great delight in that, looking down from heaven. But we're going to play for you one of the choruses, The Trumpet's Loud Clangor. And again, Handel sets this text by John Dryden extolling the virtues of music, where we find comfort and excitement and passion. And this is a very sort of battle, militaristic piece. But you hear the trumpets and the timpani, and Mozart adds horns and clarinets. And so it's a very glorious piece. Starts off with a tenor solo, and then the chorus comes in with all guns blazing, shall we say. So enjoy this cut from the Ode for St. Cecilia's Day.
Excites us to arms. Excites us to arms. To arms, to arms. The trumpet's loud clangor excites us to arms. With shrill notes of anger and mortal alarms. With shrill notes of anger. With shrill notes of anger. Double, double, double beat of the thundering drum. Rise, hark, hark, rise, hark, the voice come. Charge, 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 charge. Tis too late to retreat. Tis too late to retreat. Hark, the voice come. Tis too late to retreat. Double, double, double beat. The double, double, double beat of the thundering drum. Cries, hark, the voice come. Charge, 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 charge. Tis too late to retreat. Charge, 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 charge. Tis too late to retreat. how can that excite us to arms?
You've been listening to the music of Georg Friedrich Händel from his Ode for St. Cecilia's Day. We heard the aria, The Trumpet's Loud Clangor. Performance was by the English Concert Choir, accompanied by the English Concert, under the direction of Trevor Pinnock. So coming up on April 10th and 11th, if you'd like to hear the rest of that piece, as well as music by Stravinsky and Beethoven, you do need to attend a joint performance of the Lehigh University Philharmonic and the Bach Choir of Bethlehem, which also includes, the concert also includes chancel choir from the First Presbyterian Church of Bethlehem and the Cathedral Choir from Cathedral Church of the Nativity. As again, that's April 10 and 11 at Zellner Art Center, 8 p.m. And for tickets, you may phone 610-758-2787 or go online at zellnerartscenter.org. Greg and Eugene, thank you very much for coming. Any other announcements regarding the Bach Choir?
Yeah.
Well, your listeners can go to our website, bach.org, B-A-C-H.org. We were the first ones online, so
yay.
Everyone says to me, how did you get that? And I said, well, we just got there very early, but bach.org. And details are there about our 108th festival. And again, it's such a great honor to be participating in this concert with Eugene in anticipation of Lehigh's sesquicentennial. But Lehigh has been our home now. This will be for the 103rd year. We started doing our festivals there in Packer Church in 1912. Yeah. And so it really is a wonderful thing. And interestingly, our logo has the arch of the doors on the front of Packer Church and the Moravian Star. So it's a very special place for us. And but again, we have the festival coming up, some amazing performances, lectures, brilliant soloists, including a young violinist, Carolyn Goulding, who's doing the E major Bach violin concerto as part of our concerts. And then a wonderful thing that we call the Chacon Project that Larry Lipkis from Moravian College is doing with some amazingly gifted students from the Lehigh Valley, chosen by audition. And then a new thing that we're doing this year called Zimmerman's Coffee House at the Hotel Bethlehem on the two Saturday nights at 9. It goes from 9 to 11. It's a late night thing. There's a $10 cover charge, and then you can order German wine, beer, food. And then, again, young musicians, high school and college age, playing. So it's going to be a very cool event, I think. Not unlike Zimmerman's Coffee House in Leipzig, where Bach premiered much of his chamber music. So we have a bunch of new initiatives. But again, Bach.org, all the information is there.
Wonderful. Well,
I should say that I often get pulled over by people driving around campus at that time of the year, asking for where Packard Chapel is to go to the Bach Choir Festival, and their license plates are Missouri and Iowa. Mm-hmm. People really come from all over the country. It's very hard to get a hotel room in Bethlehem that time of the year because of the Bach Choir Festival. It's such a huge thing, and it's great to see it doing very well. That it's you know, both a tradition and continuing thing that it's always reinventing itself in significant ways and finding incredible ways to link up with the community, the larger community. It's really tremendous. Mm-hmm. And I should say, this is how I heard about Lehigh in the first place.
Through the Bach Choir?
Yeah, through the festival. So
excellent.
It opens up Lehigh to a lot of people that might have never heard of the university.
So. Well, congratulations are in order to Greg Fumfgeld, who's really promoted the organization and taken the organization such new nuances, like your new programs that you're coming up with. And the vocalists are tremendous. The orchestra is tremendous. And so the whole package is just a wonderful showcase, quite frankly.
Thank you very much. You're both very kind.
So I do thank Greg Fumfgeld, the Bach Choir Artistic Director and Conductor, as well as Eugene Albulescu, the Lehigh University Philharmonic Music Director. I do thank you both tremendously for
thank
coming
you.
In this morning.
Thank you, Karen.
So
great to be with you.
Best wishes for the next weekend's performances and also for the Bach Festival
thank
coming
you.
Up as well.